Welcome back. It's time to grab your board and swim out into the sea of ideas. See if you can catch that sales pipeline as it starts to curl up over the horizon there. With the one man, the only man who predicted that Croatia would be in the World Cup, Matt Hines.
I had them all along. There was never a doubt.
Never a doubt.
A country that is the size of West Virginia with the population of Oregon is now in the World Cup finals.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, the two greatest teams in the world are France and Croatia?
Well, I mean, they're not necessarily the best teams in the world as these tournaments go. This is why they play the games, right?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Any given sporting event, you never know. The Cinderella stories become pretty fun. It was, you know, I've got a lot of friends that are from the UK that were just, you know, riveted by the run that England made, which was pretty fun to watch. And well, I'm not a big soccer guy myself, but 4 years ago when the U.S. men's team kind of made a run, it was transcendent. It was just kind of fun to watch. And
what surprised me was the number of people watching here. I went into the local bank. They had a TV propped up. We're in an office building. There's kind of a common shared area where we can, you know, get our coffee and stuff. Had people riveted to it. Guests canceled yesterday because they wanted to watch the finals. And so we had reruns. I mean, I never saw that much enthusiasm. Particularly here in the United States, where we're so blasé about soccer here.
Well, I'm so glad that our guest today did not cancel due to either World Cup or due to, you know, heat waves on the East Coast. Very excited for our guest today. Well, welcome everybody to Sales Pipeline Radio. Thanks for joining us. For those of you who are joining us live, and the number joining us live, Paul, continues to increase every week. I am flabbergasted. In the middle of the work week, we got people joining us. So for those of you joining us live, we're here every week, 11:30 Pacific, 2:30 Eastern. If you're joining us from the podcast, thank you for subscribing. You can find us where all good podcasts are sold and downloaded. And every episode of Sales Pipeline Radio, past, present, and future, is always available at salespipelineradio.com. We are every week featuring some of the best and brightest minds in sales and marketing and B2B, and today is no different. Very excited to have joining us from the heat and humidity of New York City, we've got Amy Holtzman. She's the Vice President of Marketing at Splash. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, I mean, heat and humidity might not, I mean, as someone who is a Florida Gator alum, maybe this is really not that big a deal as a Wimby West Coast folks like Paul and I, but Paul from the upper Midwest, a little more familiar, but excited to have you on. And I mean, there's so many topics we could cover here, but I know, like, you know, recently, you know, with the work you guys have done with Splash on the event marketing side, maybe give a people a little overview of what Splash is and sort of what your role has been there so far.
Yeah, sure, of course. So I joined Splash a little bit over a year ago, and we are an end-to-end event marketing technology. We make it really easy for brands to design, measure, and scale branded and highly converting event experiences. And we focus on all the touch points throughout the event lifecycle, from the very first email communication to the landing page to your on-site touch points and post-event follow-up. And when I joined, I think what's been interesting is when I joined Splash, we were a company of about 60 people, and we had no formal marketing function. So I've had the great pleasure and challenge of being the first head of marketing here, and have been in this role for a little bit over a year, really just forming the function, growing the team. The team is about 10 folks right now, and the company is almost 120, and it's been a really quickly growing and fun ride.
So I think a lot of people listening, when they hear, you know, you were kind of the first formal marketing employee, were able to build a team from scratch, maybe see that as a little bit exciting and terrifying at the same time. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like to do that?
So
you know, I think there's probably some very positive things around building the culture you want, but also, you know, the culture of a company that exists and is growing without marketing may have its own challenges. You just develop that team as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. Yeah. So I wanted to join a company that was earlier stage than ones that I had previously been at. So before this, I was at Conductor, which is an SEO and content marketing platform. I joined them when they were Series B funding. So they were already about 140 people when I joined them. And prior to that, I was with Demandbase, B2B targeting and personalization platform. They were going on their Series C funding and were about 70 people. But they had a pretty established marketing function. And after those two experiences, I really wanted to kind of go in at the ground level and build my own systems and my own team from scratch. And I think my advice to others that may be considering the same is be careful what you wish for, because it has been way more challenging than I ever thought. Also way more rewarding now that I've been a year in, but those first like 3 to 6 months are incredibly challenging, especially for a company that I would say was late to build out their marketing function. I appreciate that the company spent years focused on product and on engineering and really built out their sales function pretty late, and also built out their marketing function incredibly late. But in a lot of ways, still a year in, I feel like I'm playing catch up because we were so late to build the marketing function. I think it has been a unique opportunity to hire my own team. I think in that opportunity, there's also challenges of trying to find other builders that are willing to do functions from the ground up. A lot of times, folks go into a role and there's at least some kind of norm or status quo that they're trying to fulfill and improve. But it's been challenging and rewarding to find team members that are really builders and willing to do things for the first time from scratch. I've learned that it's a special kind of individual that wants that challenge and also that succeeds in that challenge.
Well, talking to Amy Holtzman today, she's the VP of Marketing at Splash. And if you look at her resume, very quickly has risen up the ranks through a lot of very well-known companies. And I appreciate your candor in sharing about how difficult it can be to build a team, to build a marketing culture from scratch. I've had the opportunity to work with a few people on your team and, have been impressed with, just quality and caliber of the people you've got, but it's never easy to get all of that aligned.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about culture within your organization. I mean, it's one thing to find people that can do the work. You mentioned finding people that are builders. I mean, that's, there's certainly a skill set, both some experience and intuition that helps with that. But as you're building a team from scratch, how do you think about culture? How important is culture? And what have you done to try to build a culture for marketing at Splash?
Well, it's interesting. I think the first thing that I've looked for is people that can operate under a bit of ambiguity, because when you're building a team and function for the first time and doing things for the first time, there's not like a very clearly defined roadmap. And so I have very carefully looked for people that have had previous roles where they haven't had everything clearly spelled out for them. So it could be big company or small company people. Perhaps, they lost a boss midway through a job that they had and had to operate, like figure out the function for themselves or something like that, or they had a boss that was, not always available to them, or perhaps they've run teams in the past and kind of had to set their own direction. The other thing that I believe firmly in, and I think is very relevant to this podcast, is I grew up a demand generation marketer, and so I feel very strongly that everyone on the marketing team, regardless of function, should be measured in some way, and it should be measured in some way aligned to the metrics of the business and to revenue. So everyone on my team, from our designers to our content people to our demand generation folks, certainly are measured on the overall marketing team's contribution to opportunities and to revenue to the company. And what that does for my team is it keeps them very focused on the tasks at hand that matter and that will truly impact the business. And I think it's a fairly unusual way to run an entire marketing organization, but it means that my designer will prioritize, helping sales with their next one sheet or their next deck or whatever it is over ordering a piece of swag or something like that. And it just means that when we're going through prioritizing, we've got kind of something that the entire team gets behind in this opportunities and revenue.
So I think you're right that is kind of unique, right? I mean, I think, organizations that either have some, a previous culture or inertia around, something that isn't revenue responsibility, that some of it isn't a great, alignment with the sales organization's goals. I have to imagine that perspective helped accelerate sort of not only just alignment, but also credibility and partnership with the sales organization. Talk a little bit about how you do that and how that has worked for you. And, you know, maybe that has been part of what's been challenging, because I think that, you know, creating not just strategic but also operational alignment between sales and marketing isn't always easy. But it sounds like the approach you're taking certainly would give you an advantage.
Yeah, you're right. It's never easy. What's interesting is because I was forming the marketing function for the first time, there were ideas of what marketing should do, but there was no, like, real expectation. And so no one asked me for our first demand generation model and my first take at what marketing was going to contribute to the business. It was something that I had to put together myself based on very limited data. But I think it was not even a month in to my time here at Splash, I had been asking questions around the company and asking everyone's expectation and what kinds of things they thought marketing should be and do for Splash. And not no one, but almost no one really said, like, you know, I want to know how many opportunities you're bringing to the table and how, you know, pipeline and revenue is going to increase because you're here. Most of the business kind of said, we want to do some events. We want to do, we want better collateral. We want all of these things. But not many people in the business were talking about marketing's contribution to revenue. So I think it was about 30 days in, I went and I put together our first demand generation model and said, you know, historically, the website's brought in roughly these kinds of things without even trying. And when we've done little sponsorships and things, and there happens to be a campaign in Salesforce, we've gotten these kinds of results from events, and it's roughly been tied to revenue in this way. And I used, like, probably very bad data and very bad reporting to back into what I thought could be our first revenue model for my first full quarter here. And that really changed the conversation with sales leadership and really the executive leadership team when I said, these are the things that, like, roughly we've been doing, and this is my prediction of, like, how marketing is going to help, like, my first quarter, my second quarter, and a year in. And it's incremental improvements that even, you know, 5 to 10% improvements through different stages of funnel can really impact revenue for a company, as I'm sure you know. And when I started talking in that way and really showed them the numbers and the math, that's when people started to kind of get excited and realize that marketing at Splash would be a revenue partner and not necessarily just a one-sheet factory or service organization.
Yeah, one sheet factory is not a good reputation for marketers. Let's shift gears a little bit. I think that the title of this episode today is GDPR WTF. You know, we published together what we call the Uncomplicated Guide to GDPR for Event Marketers. And I think it was specific to, you know, event marketing and events in particular. But if you take out the events, it's still, you know, pretty good guide to GDPR in general. To talk a little bit first about sort of why was that a theme that you wanted to cover at Splash, and how does GDPR become kind of a core part of your, not only the product but also part of your marketing?
Yeah, so it's funny. It was never my original intention to produce so much thought leadership content around GDPR, and it kind of happened. It kind of happened because we fell into it. And what I mean by that is, as we as a company started to work through our own GDPR compliance, and more specifically work through the requests that our customers were having around GDPR and how we would help them comply and what our approach to it would be, I was very involved in the mix of how we would handle GDPR compliance both for our customers and for ourselves. And I don't know, I was sitting in very long meetings week after week, kind of going through the nuances of compliance, how the product helps our customers comply, how we were going to handle it internally, etc. And a few weeks in, I said, we have, like, a great amount of thought and content on this, and we need to put it together, and we need to tell not just our customers, but the industry about it, because it affects all marketing, not just events. Events have some unique components to it, but it affects all marketing. And, you know, I think that we saw a rush of GDPR content kind of towards the end, and not even the end, but as we approached the compliance date. But in the beginning, there was scarce information, and there was not much information on how to apply the regulation to your business and to your marketing tactics, right? Like there was very general information about the regulation, but no one was really talking about or understood how to apply it. So we started to like form our own opinions on GDPR compliance. Obviously started talking to you, Matt, about it and realized that we had a lot of the same thoughts on it and decided, you know, we really need to produce this content because there is such a need for it, and there's such a need for that practical content that actually helps you apply it to your business. I think short answer is we kind of fell into it because we needed to do it for our customers and we needed to do it internally. And then we really like felt strongly about educating the industry on it as we learned and having them learn alongside of us.
Yeah, if you want to check out some of what Splash has done with their GDPR content, go to splashthat.com/resources, scroll down and you'll see the best practice guide that published a couple of the webinars we did, and I'm biased for sure because I was involved, but I think they produced really well. We got to take a quick break here, but when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the unique ways that, you know, we work to sort of make this stand out, to kind of reflect some of your brand and sort of how, you know, how some of those decisions are made versus what other people were doing. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We got Amy Holtzman. She's the VP of Marketing at Splash. We'll be back in just a bit. This is Sales Pipeline Radio.
In a world where the speed of innovation and change in B2B marketing has never been greater, the only thing bigger is the need for clarity, for a blueprint, for a guide to what's really working. And how about a way to apply it specifically today to increase sales pipeline growth, velocity, and most of all, conversion? That's what you'll find in the Modern Marketer's Field Guide. And amazingly, you can download it for free. HeinzMarketing.com. Just like it sounds, HeinzMarketing. It encompasses the entire sales and marketing cycle, but in quick bursts with lots of specific, actionable ideas, strategies, tactics you can put to work right away, like today. The loaded table of contents helps you narrow in and tackle a problem. And it's something you can come back to over and over again as a reference guide. Why not download your free copy of the Modern Marketer's Field Guide? It's free. HeinzMarketing.com. Just like it sounds. H-E-I-N-Z. Marketing.com. All right. Back to Matt and his guest.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much again for joining us today. If you like this conversation we're having on Sales Pipeline Radio, you want to share this with some of your peers, you'll find this episode on demand up at salespipelineradio.com in just a couple days. Every one of our episodes gets taken down into an edited transcript. You can find highlights of that for every one of our episodes up on our blog at heinzmarketing.com. Coming up next couple weeks, as we, Paul, we continue the summer of pipeline. We're in the middle of summer pipeline now. It is here. We are mid-July. It feels like summer is already quite slipping away. My wife is a school teacher, so literally in a month, she's got to go back to school and get ready to have for those chitlins again. But excited for our episode today. Next week, we have Shandar Pachabriam. He is the CMO at Coupa Software. He's the former CMO at Marketo. He was a VP of marketing at IBM. One of my favorite guys in B2B. We're going to be talking about building and scaling sales and marketing engines. And the last show we have in July, as we continue the summer of pipeline, we've got Jason Lowe. He's the global head of sales solutions at Anaplan. We're going to be talking about sales ops. We're going to be talking about managing the sales pipeline, managing sort of sales engineering and the technical aspects of managing your pipeline. So a good couple of guests coming up here to continue the summer of pipeline on Sales Pipeline Radio. Amy, we were talking, Amy Holtzman is our guest today. She's the VP of Marketing at Splash. We were talking about the uncomplicated guide to GDPR. Folks can find it at splashthat.com/resources. And one of the things that, you know, it was kind of fun for me working with you guys on this is I don't know how you guys describe it from a brand standpoint. It was not irreverent, not necessarily whimsical, definitely more of a casual approach. I think GDPR guides sometimes can be a little intimidating and can be very legalese. You intentionally wanted to have a little bit of a different approach. Talk a little bit about why and then how you did that.
Yeah, so our overall approach, I think, to brand and to how we present ourselves is really we want to be the most accessible event marketing platform out there. There's no reason to be so serious, and I think that B2B marketers often get caught up in being serious and presenting themselves in a certain way. And the reality is that, like, there's often no need to be that serious. There's obviously a need to build credibility and trust, but we find that the best way to do that is to be human. And so we try to be human in everything we do, and we try to talk to you as we're talking today and not talk at you, as I think a lot of B2B marketing does. And in that, we try to be very accessible to our audience. So we took the same approach to GDPR compliance, and it is a very serious topic. But you're absolutely right. It was important to us to maintain our brand voice and our brand integrity in the same way that we do every day here through the guide. So I think and I hope we've done a good job of being credible, but not unnecessarily serious.
Well, and I think that approach was validated. I mean, we both got a lot of feedback from, you know, the guide as well as the webinar and the approach to take that. I mean, you can have a serious topic that has real meat in it, but still, you know, not take yourself too seriously, still have some fun with it, still make it something that is engaging and, dare I say, entertaining. And I think that's part of our charter as marketers is to go from being, you know, interruptive to some level of irresistible, right? And I think that it's not just the type of content we put out there, but the approach that we take as part of that. So it is a serious topic. GDPR is real. There are already lawsuits being filed against big companies that have alleged violations. It's 2 months, almost 2 months as we record this, from when GDPR came into effect. Amy, what just happened? Now that we're 2 weeks, 2 months in, like, what happened and what does it mean? And is it what we thought it was going to be? Like, what now that GDPR is two months old, what is it?
Yeah, so I think we all knew. I think the entire new world knew that something was happening, if not GDPR, that week of May 25th when, I don't know, our email inboxes were flooded with thousands updated privacy policies, which was a part of the regulation. I think if you didn't know GDPR was happening and you weren't a marketer, you definitely knew that it was happening by the end of that week. And then since that week, I think it was hilarious. You also saw what companies were a little late to the party and saw kind of a slow drip of updated privacy policies for the next few weeks. I think those things have stopped now, which is nice. But
I got one this morning. It's still coming.
Did you? That's hilarious. That's so funny. I haven't seen one for a few weeks, and knock on wood, now I'll probably go back to my desk and see 20. Yeah, I mean, I think what happened was it really forced us to have a conversation that we needed to have anyway, right? And that is around how we handle our database and how we capture consent and how we market to people. And it's really about, it's really been about making sure that we are treating people how they want to be treated, right? So the reality is that if somebody didn't want to be in your database before or gotten there in an untransparent way and was upset about it, they shouldn't have been there to begin with, right? So I think GDPR forced us all to look at a very important issue of consent, how we manage data, how we respond to requests for data and requests to be removed from things. And it really forced a conversation that was a long time in the making. Since that date, I think it's interesting. I've seen that a lot of forms on different websites have changed. I've also seen that some people are completely ignoring GDPR compliance. Funny, Matt sent forward to me an email the other day from someone that clearly had no idea about the regulation and was using it to promote unsolicited lists, which was hilarious. I think that in general, we have seen companies and different marketing teams make big improvements to the way that they are capturing consent and also be much more transparent about what they are going to do with your consent. And I think that was needed in the industry.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Robert Rose at Content Marketing Institute actually described GDPR as a gift to marketers, whether they wanted it or not, to really kind of come to terms with, you know, really addressing and prioritizing customer requests. So I think, you know, more to come. We'll see what happens with the legislation. But legislated or not, you know, your customer is still in control. We are out of time, unfortunately, here. Another episode of Sales Pipeline Radio. I want to thank our guest, Amy Holtzman, VP of Marketing at Splash. If you want to see some of the examples of the good marketing they do overall, as well as some of the GDPR content they created, check out splashthat.com/resources, and you can download to your heart's content. We are out of time here for another episode. If you want to catch this episode again on demand, please go to salespipelineradio.com, where every episode, past, present, and future, is available. And we out. Time for now. On for my great producer, Paul, my name is Matt Hines. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Sales Pipeline Radio.
You've been listening to Sales Pipeline Radio, brought to you by the good folks at Matt Hines Marketing, right here on the Funnel Radio channel for at-work listeners like you.